Good morning, everyone. Today is the 18th of December. We are here today for the licensing committee meeting to be held on Monday, 18th of December 2023 at 10 a.m. in the Coltman VC Room in this town hall, Burton upon Trent. The first item of the agenda. Before I go, can we introduce ourselves? My name is Saeed Hussain. I'm the chairman of the licensing committee. On my right, I'll be assisted by our principal democratic officer, Andrea Davis. Over to you, so if you can, everyone can introduce themselves, please.
Thank you. I'm Andrea Davis, principal democratic services officer.
Daniel Corkett, democratic services officer.
Colin Wildman, ward councillor for Brislingcote.
Paul Walker, councillor for Shobnal.
Good morning, Alison Legg, councillor for Stapen Hill.
Good morning, Jackie Jones, councillor for Baggots and Needwood Ward.
Good morning, Naheem Hussain, enforcement officer for East Affshire Borough Council.
Good morning, Naheem Hussain, enforcement officer for East Affshire Borough Council.
Morning, Nikki Bills, enforcement officer, East Affshire Council.
Morning, Deborah Chivers, licensing officer.
Good morning, Margaret Woolley, enforcement manager.
And on the screen, we will be joined by our council solicitor and officer of the court. Is John?
Good morning, everyone. My name is John Teed, head of legal and regulatory services. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. And this is a public meeting, and we can see a member of the public as well. So, good morning, all. So all those publics are here, may I just also respectfully remind everybody, it's only for the councillors to take part in the debate, so we will not expect any contribution from the member of the public in this meeting. I hope you can remind this one yourself. Thank you. First item of the agenda. Can I ask manager of the Democratic Services to advise me, is there any apologies of absence, please?
Thank you, Chairman. We've received apologies from Councillor Aykroyd, Councillor Gaskin, Councillor Penny Krupski, and Councillor Yuzlav Krupski. Thank you.
Have we got any update from Councillor Aykroyd?
No, he said that if he wasn't arriving in time, he did have a medical appointment, so I'm assuming he's delayed, so we'll submit his apologies, Chairman.
Thank you. And are you satisfied that we have the proper quorum for this meeting?
Thank you, Chairman. The quorum is a third, so yes, we've got enough councillors to continue the meeting.
So, yeah, we should proceed. Now, the second item of the agenda, declaration of interest. Do any members of the committee have any declaration of interest of any of the items under discussions at the meeting today? Any declaration of interest from any members, please? No? We don't have any declaration of interest at this. Moving on to agenda item 3, to consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting under Rule 12. Is there any notifications on urgent business, please?
Thank you, Chairman. No, we haven't got any urgent business. Thank you.
Thank you. I am not aware of any urgent business. So moving on to agenda item 4. Minutes of the previous meeting held on 7th June 2023. I propose approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. Could I have a seconder, please? Councillor Jackie Jones? We will now go to the vote. All those councillors for it, could you please show your hands? Any against? Any abstention? Just one abstention. And the confirmed vote is carried. So the minute is accepted. Can I just give you the signed copy of this one, please? Thank you. Now, we are moving to agenda item 5. Membership of the General Licensing Subcommittee. Currently, the Licensing General Subcommittee is made up of the following councillors: myself as the chair, Councillor Micah Croyd, Councillor Penny Kupski, Councillor Miss Alison Lagg, Councillor Simon Guskin, and Councillor Paul Walker. Councillor Simon Guskin has indicated he is no longer able to serve on the subcommittee as the meetings are held at 6:30 p.m. in the evening. Could I have any nominations for the councillors to replace Councillor Guskin on subcommittee? Councillor Jones, could I have a... Yes.
Chair, thank you. Could I nominate Councillor Colin Wilder to sit on that committee?
And also, I would like to second these propositions. Okay. We will now go to the vote. All those councillors for it, could you please show your hands? Any against? Any abstentions? No. I think the decision is unanimous. Thank you. Welcome, Councillor Wildman. You are the new member of the Licensing Subcommittee. I can confirm you have been appointed to serve on the Licensing General Subcommittee. The next meeting will be take place on 9th of January 2024 at 6:30 p.m. and you will receive the documentations for that meeting in due course. Thank you. Now, we are moving to agenda item 6, Hackney Courage and Private Higher Policy Review 2024-2029. I now invite Enforcement Manager of the Council, Margaret Woolley, to represent the report. Margaret.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, councillors. The report before you is a review of the Hackney Carriage and Private Hire Policy. The review has taken place over the past year, enabling the teams to consult with members of the trade to formulate amendments and improvements. The aim of the review was to include the Department for Transport statutory standards, which were first published in June 2020, and the legislative changes which have been introduced by government, and technical changes developed from the trade and the licensing team. The highlight aspects incorporated into the policy from the statutory standards are the authority's registration with the anti-fraud network, sharing information on the NR3 register of revoked, suspended and refused licences, the implementation of regular safeguarding training and information in respect of overseas convictions and the requirement to provide a certificate of good character after 3 months outside of the UK. The legislative changes include a tax registration check, the EU settlement scheme checks and the right to remain and work in the UK, the local authority requirement to subscribe to the NR3 register, and the publishing of a list of wheelchair accessible vehicles. And finally, the technical changes. The guidelines on the relevance of convictions has been updated to include what we consider to be minor and major convictions. The Council's warning scheme has also been updated, and warnings will stay live for a period of 1 year, where previously it was 2. Medicals, it is proposed to move to Group 2, and any GMC registered practitioner can be used. Certificates of compliance, it is proposed to move to an annual inspection. With regard to vehicle identification and signage, it's proposed that door panels still be displayed. However, private hire vehicles will only require one rear plate and an internal front plate will be provided. With regard to the age limit of vehicles, it's proposed that we consult on 3 options, these being a 5-year age limit with no upper limit as long as Euro 6 compliant, or an 8-year age limit with no upper age limit as long as Euro 6 compliant, and finally an unlimited vehicle age limit as long as the vehicle is Euro 6 compliant. It is proposed that currently registered vehicles continue to be licensed as long as they are in the appropriate condition, both mechanically and aesthetically. However, any new vehicles registered must be Euro emission standard compliant. We would ask the licensing committee to consider the report before them today and that the proposed amendments be put forward for a 6-week consultation exercise. Following the consultation, the results will be brought back before the licensing committee prior to recommendations to full council. I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Margaret. Do councillors have any questions for the officers? Councillor Jones.
Thank you. Could I just ask Margaret, why would you change the warnings, the retention of warnings, from 2 years down to 1 year? And is there a requirement for that?
Yes, we've had a look through the statutory standards and the best practice guidance, and whilst they suggest that it's a good idea to have either a penalty point scheme in place or a warning system in place, we felt that reducing it to 1 year is more appropriate based on the guidelines that they've issued currently, and we're going to move, instead of issuing warnings one after the other, we'll move to like an advisory letter, then a warning, and then it will be an officer caution after that, and then we will bring them before the licensing committee. We're hoping that we can deal with more administrative things such as no door panels, perhaps not changing their address within the required time more expediently without the need to come before committee. But should an applicant or a licensee develop a history of types of offences, then we would automatically bring them, we have discretion to bring them before the licensing committee.
Okay, thanks.
Councillor Wildman.
Thank you, Chair. Margaret, how are they checked? How are the licences checked? Can you just explain as you pointed out regarding the signage and so on, who checks? And is it an annual check? I think that's what you were saying. I think.
Initially, the vehicle goes to one of our testing stations and we'll have the certificate of compliance checked, so everything's compliant from their side of things. And then moving from that, we rely then on enforcement officers and licensing officers to provide ad hoc checks, or we run initiatives to check vehicles as well.
Thank you. And just so you're now going on, instead of 2 years on the list, it's now one. I think for if it was an offence or something like that.
Warnings.
So how are they checked as well? When they all of a sudden after the first year, they can now then all of a sudden be okay to drive and so on, or drive your taxi, whatever, and so on. So how does that work? How do they become eligible again to actually to be okay to drive?
They'll always be eligible to drive even if they've had a warning, unless it's something serious. Then that would either come before committee or we revoke at officer discretion. Depends what it is really. But for officers, then we have a system called Dynamics, which we record each stage of where they're at in the warning system. So if they've been given a warning letter or a warning and then an officer caution, it will all be documented and flags up where we're at with that. But if it was something serious, then it would obviously come before the committee.
Okay, Mark. Thank you very much, Margaret. Thank you.
Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Chair. Could I just ask Margaret about the safeguarding training and how that works and how frequently the safeguarding, that's presumably for all the drivers and operators, that training?
Yes. We use the Blue Lamp Trust for our safeguarding training, where an applicant or a current licensee can log into the system, book a slot for the training, and then it's actually conducted via Zoom So the potential applicant has to show identification on the screen, and they have to remain within the training at all times, so the trainer can see them. And then they have to do it on application or every 3 years. So that's carried out, and that's in line with the statutory standards and best practice guidance as well.
Okay, thank you. That was one, I think. And there was another thing about the wheelchair access. We're going to publish a list of
yes.
taxis that have wheelchair access. How many are there? Do we know?
Well, we've got 16 on the books at the moment. I'm not sure how many altogether, but I can find that out for
okay,
you.
No, that's just interesting because it seems like 60 didn't seem like a huge number, to be honest. I don't know whether that's a standard number or what. Really. And if I could just one other thing, if I could ask as well. When you were talking about people who've been abroad for more than 3 months,
yeah.
obviously you were trying to get a certificate of. I don't know, good behaviour or whatever. I forget yeah. what you called it.
Of good character.
Good character, that's it. Fine. What happens if you can't get that? Because that must be quite difficult. That must be quite difficult to get in many instances.
Sometimes you can get them from majority of places, but there is a list published by the government as to where you can't get them from and where you can get them from, which we rely on to have a look at because some don't do them. So if they can't get them, then we would bring them before licensing committee for a decision to be made.
Okay. There's no discussion about that at all. You couldn't get it from somewhere.
No.
You couldn't get it from somebody else, somewhere else.
No. 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 Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. If you can, for my own benefit, actually, for further clarifications from the documents you produced, thank you for that, about 133 pages and some appendixes. If I can sum it up, my observations, could you please correct me? Say, what's in front of us? That instead of two MOT, we are proposing one MOT, one year round.
Yes.
And before my observations, and also in terms of doing the, so long any medical practitioners registered with GMC, they yes. can have the medical test from any GP they wish to. And thirdly, my observation is that when I went through your documents, in the Canucks case, we can see that taxi and hackney carriage, these, they got no age limit. So long this qualify with the MOT, they can be on the road, and which is our option three indicates, along with, if we compare this one in the Litchfield, from your appendix there, in the Litchfield as well, any vehicle can be on the road, roadworthy from the beginning, so long it qualifies with the MOT again, so there is no 3 years or 5 years or 8 years,
mm-hmm.
which is our option three in your technical report. Am I right to say so?
Mm-hmm.
Is yeah. it the case? Okay. Thank you for the clarifications.
They do, but they do. Litchfield have an upper age limit
okay.
of 7 for private hire and 10 for hackney carriage.
Okay. But which council in our neighbourhood, I mean our neighbouring councils, they don't have any upper age limit? Cannock doesn't have.
No, they've all got an upper age limit.
And our option is proposing
none.
Mm. So this is a unique proposal from our end.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the consultations, we are proposing all three options.
Yes.
And my questions to officer, that if the committee decides, rather proposing three options, are we in a position to propose only one option?
We'll have to take advice
from the monitoring officer. John, over to you.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I suppose once the consultation has taken place, you will be able to, you as a committee, as a council. And as wide an opinion as possible so that you are informed going forward, making the right decision. So Just to clarify, the report's given three options, and we're talking about going out to consultation today on those three options. I think that's perhaps the thing that you need to keep in mind.
Thank you, John. Please, Margaret. Yes.
Just going back then to the MOT, the Certificate of Compliance, that will move to a proposal to move to annual certificates. But should we need one halfway through the year for any particular reason, then officers can ask the vehicle to be taken to a testing station and be checked again. So that's one point. It doesn't say that we will, but we can, should the need arise, if there's anything that comes up to light with the vehicle. The medicals move, the proposal is to move to any practitioner, so they could go to anybody really, the same as you do with a HGV, and they'll provide the medical. However, it will move to group 2 medicals from the current standard that we use. Okay.
Thank you. On this note, can I just ask for further clarifications from the officers, please? If I can seek your attention on page 119, paragraph H, which indicates that SMS text and contact details. Could you please clarify this one, that good practice and our motive on this, please?
The operators that we license are responsible for running their own business, but they're also responsible for data that they collect and the Data Commissioner's code of conduct. So it's responsibility of the operator to ensure that any PDA devices remove any personal data. So that will include contact numbers and email addresses of clients from the PDAs, so that the drivers don't retain those on a continual basis, and they should have a policy in place to dictate what that policy is. And then the operator's system should also go through and delete when it reaches their criteria. So they need to put in place something to say, we'll only retain personal data 14 days, 31 days, and then it will be deleted. But they must always keep a record of the journey.
Thank you. Any councillors at this stage wish to make any comment? Councillor Paul Walker.
Thank you, Chair. Can I just go back to Councillor Wildman's point regarding the warnings? Are they expunged automatically after 1 year, or do they stay on record?
They will be removed, so you'll start with a clean slate after a year. So whenever you get your first warning, that's when your year would start until the third warning. But we can retain the information on the system, but you would sort of start again the next year. So if it was door panels, plates missing, those sorts of things, we'll deal within the office. But should there be a pattern of misconduct, then we could use that, we could bring that to the fore should we need to do so.
Councillor Wildman.
Just getting back to information that the companies hold, and maybe drivers hold as well. How do we check that? Just that, you know, that it has been information has been deleted and so on.
We carry out base checks, operator checks, and we also check information when we get a new operator's licence or a renewal of an operator's licence. We start to check now that they've got all of the policies and procedures in place that they should have. So officers will be checking that that's happening. Things like anybody taking a booking has to have a basic disclosure and barring service certificate now as well. That's another aspect that's been brought in by the statutory standards. So it's getting the operators more on a professional footing really, and lots more checks for the operators to do.
Thanks, Margaret. I just find it quite hard to actually make them comply, make any even a private person comply to actually deleting numbers from, you know, let's just say a driver has numbers of customers that are regular customers, you know, and so on, because I presume that's what it would be. There's no way that we could possibly, they could just say, well, I've deleted it, and you've got another phone, or they've got whatever. You know, it's difficult, isn't it? There is a difficulty there, isn't there?
Operators will need to run their business to ensure that that they are compliant with the data commissioner's information. So it is up to them at the end of the day. If individual drivers have got numbers on their own telephones, then, you know, that's a matter for them, really. But they really should keep it to the PDAs so that the operators can delete through the systems.
Thank you. Can I just also seek your attention on another thing, if you can kind of clarify for our benefit as well? The handheld device, what is the good practice, or what is our expectations when the driver is using this device?
As with any driver, myself included, this should not be touched whilst the vehicle's in motion. It shouldn't, while they're driving, they shouldn't be touching the PDAs at all. And that's why you'll find that some drivers have been issued with fines, etc., for mobile devices recently. It's the same with a mobile phone. We shouldn't be touching our mobile phones whilst we're driving. So, again, operators should have a policy in place as to how they use the PDAs, and also I know that the operators can set time limits, so if they're sent a job and they don't take it within so many seconds, minutes, it will go to another driver, but operators need to be making sure that they put enough time in place that the driver can accept it in a safe manner rather than within 30 seconds.
Thank you. And this is not just council's bylaw, it is a law of the parliament.
It's law, yes. Yeah.
Thank you. If I may go back to misconduct and convictions and everything, what happens if that, any driver, for example, first initially arrested or something, then subsequently from the police or anybody that it was, conviction was quashed or anything. So does it mean that we have a duty to give their license back, or we have to go through? What is it? Could you please clarify? And that, I cannot find this one in the policy, to see my shortcomings.
Okay. Once a license is revoked, it can't be unrevoked. It would either have to come on as a new application or an appeal against the revocation, and then the courts would decide whether the appeal is upheld or not. But once it's revoked, then it would have to come back in as a new application. Once we get something from the police as to whether somebody's been arrested, charged, etc., we would look at the information, and we have to then make a decision based on what it is as to whether we revoke. So that's what we would go through. So if it's a safeguarding issue or something quite serious, if they've been arrested for GBH or assault or anything like that, then again we have to look at a safeguarding issue. And that's when we would decide, under delegated powers, whether we have to revoke at that point in time. Have we got enough information? And again, as a committee, I know you ask yourselves, would you be happy for that person, someone you love, to be carried within a vehicle with this person? And that's what we would ask ourselves as well.
Thank you. So, am I correct to say, even he is cleared from the police, from the initial something, still, if the council revoke the license, council cannot reissue the license without the proper hearing? This is where we stand at this moment.
You can't unrevoke a license. it either has to go to appeal or it would have to come back in and a new application be submitted. So we can't, once it's been revoked, there is nothing to give back, basically, because they haven't got a licence anymore.
So am I right to say, could you please bear with me for my clarification there, because people's livelihood in there, I need to be clarified before. So we're saying that once we revoke the licence, we don't have the power to reissue this one unless we get the clarifications from the court. This is why it is. Or is it the policy of our own policy, or is it the policy?
What we would do, if somebody's revoked, they have the right of appeal to the magistrate's court. So they can either appeal or they don't. If they don't appeal and they've had the licence revoked, they could come back and put a new application in, because we can't stop anybody putting an application in. So they could come back, and then they would, because they've been revoked, they would automatically go before the licensing committee then. So a decision would be made by a licensing committee. It could be that if they've not been charged or convicted, but we've got information, it might still be the opinion of the council that we still wouldn't issue the badge back. So they still have to go either through the appeal process or put a new application in. Does that make sense?
Thank you. So on this juncture point, is there any councillors wish to contribute on this? The reason I am struggling here, officers, you will be very kind to clarify this one, because if driver X is not convicted, or he is being, you know, arrested, or sometimes wrongfully arrested, but for some reason he got his license got revoked, and we are here that even he is cleared from the police stations or whoever, but still that poor Mr. X won't have the right to get his badge back unless he goes through the whole process. John, could you please help us on this?
The council and its officers have to consider any kind of revocation. We think very deeply and hardly in terms of whether or not we should do so. Now, when information comes to the fore, and that's not necessarily from the police, that can be from a member of the public, just to give you an example, we have to consider it as officers, and depending on that information, there are times that we will have to revoke. And it's important to note that the licensing committee and the council aren't bound by the same burdens of proof that the police are, so the police might make an arrest, or just by way of an example, and they may drop the charges. But if the council have to hand information that's been provided by members of the public, or indeed by the police themselves, regardless of not whether they drop it later, the council still have that information, and they have to think about the safety of the travelling public, and that's the emphasis. So the council do have decisions to make, and keeping the police example out of it, whether or not they've dropped the charge. If the council have information which suggests improper behaviour, then the council have to act on it. And either they can be corrected by the courts through an appeal, or indeed, as Mark has already explained, the person, whoever that may be, might be able to submit an application, come before the committee, and the committee will then be able to decide on the basis of the information that officers have, again, regardless of what police have done, whether that person is a fit and proper person to drive a private hire or have a charge. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, John. Councillor Wildman.
Thank you, Chair. A few things, one thing in particular just sort of shouts out to me there. When we're talking of revoking licences, I mean, we're taking away, that's what we're saying, isn't it, really? But do we, for instance, is there any other thing, if for instance, Cannock was mentioned, so do we share information with Cannock? Do they share with us? And so on. Can a driver be licensed in Cannock and then come to Burton, which I'm sure that probably is the case. So therefore, he would be assuming the driver has had his in Cannock has had his license revoked, but he would still possibly be able to. I mean, I just wonder how that works for information sharing. Really, that's really what I'm saying.
Okay. Any driver that's revoked, suspended, or suspended. Any driver revoked, suspended or refused will go onto the NR3 register. We check the NR3 register, but we also have to do data sharing with the other local authorities. So they will ask us for outcomes of committees, information, whatever we hold. As long as they give an exemption certificate to us, then we can pass some information over to them. Most authorities, though, will have on the application form a page where the driver has to declare if they're licensed by another authority, if they've been refused, revoked or suspended, and also details of that. So the statutory standards and the best practice guidance have made all of that possible, whereas before, you know, we were working blind, but the register, we pay now to go onto that register every year. We maintain it. We had to put 25 years' worth of information onto it of every driver that's been licensed with us, and so did every other local authority, so it's been no mean feat to get that sorted. So now, yeah, we have got, you know, something that we can look at if they have been licensed with Cannock, Wolverhampton, Lichfield or wherever, we can get that information.
That's great. Thank you, okay. Margaret. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to ask a question about bullet point 8.3.3, please, regarding the enforcement officers, and as we are having older vehicles on the road, we obviously need to make sure we've got the enforcement people to deal with it. Can we beef up that point a bit more, please, to make sure if this does happen that we have got additional investment and funds to do so, please? Thank you.
Margaret, do you have any comment to make on this?
Sorry, Councillor, did you want more adding to that paragraph, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, Chair, we'd need to ask what exactly you do requiring to go with that.
Members, especially what Councillor Legg has just proposed, is there anything we can get it in writing so that we can formally propose this one to the meeting?
Yes, I was looking at it as an investment, so what sort of cost did come with maybe employing, because I don't know how many new officers we need, but let's have a rough guess and say four part-time ones if we could have them. What sort of cost would that be to the council? Because I think it may be something that is needed, please.
So it is a question to the officer, and my understanding is that outside this meeting, and our officers can write to the write to Councillor Legg about her observations.
Yeah, it was only a suggestion. It's not, you know, I'm looking for guidance on it, but I feel it needed a bit more on it. Thank you.
So, Margaret, are you happy to come back to the councillor?
Yes, yeah. I can let Councillor Legg, committee know.
Can I just say, yes, Councillor Meg's absolutely right. I mean, if the one of the threats is obviously that we have older vehicles, we need more enforcement. If we need more enforcement because we're registering older vehicles, then we need to make sure there's some funding there for the additional enforcement. I think that's the point we're trying to get over, really. And, you know, is that going to be available? Because that would maybe have a bearing on us as a committee making a decision. If there's not going to be any additional funding for additional enforcement, then maybe that's not what we should be doing. So I think that, that does have an attitude. As John's got his hand up again.
John. Yes, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor, I absolutely see the wisdom of what you suggested there, and as officers, that's something that we are looking at. You know, that be aware that it's that time of year when we're looking at our budgets and everything else. So it's something that we are looking into. But of course, what we wanted to do was let's hit the consultation, see what the consensus is, and then we'll make a move. I think generally speaking, we would like to have more officers anyway. But certainly, if we're looking at old vehicles, and I feel a requirement to make sure that we have, you know, another officer at least. So yes, absolutely. I mean, in terms of the report itself, Councillor, I think the report is what it is at this stage. Of course, we can liaise with you, Councillor, and come back with our thoughts and comments, and maybe in a later revision of the report after the consultation, we can bolster that section a little bit more if that's what you're after.
Thank you. Councillor Legg, are you happy with John's recommendations?
Yes, I'm happy as long as it comes back to committee before it goes to full council to be passed, please.
Thank you.
And also everybody on the committee, thank you.
So are we in an agreement? Councillor Legg recommendations should be looked into before it goes to the next committee, and certainly before it goes to the full councils. Are we all in agreement? Yeah. Officer, could you please kindly make a note of this, please? Councillor Walker.
Chair, before you proceed, I mean, I think in various stages, including group meetings, we've made reference to this. Personally, I think the key is that the Euro 6 compliant all vehicles, and they go through checks, safety checks, and if they're not safe to be on the road, then they shouldn't be on the road. And as far as I'm concerned, that's okay. But if others wish that to happen in the room, then that's absolutely fine. But I think that's probably the stance why, well, the position why this report was brought to this body.
Thank you, Councillor. So are we still waiting for the next meeting to come? Oh, John.
Thank you, Chair. Just to come in again, Councillor Walker, Chair, I don't see Councillor Legg's request as any kind of hindrance, to be honest. The report, your decision today is to whether or not we go out to consultation or not. What we can do in a later revision of the report, for example, when the report comes back to the licensing committee following consultation, we can take a bit of a look at Councillor Legg's request, and just to put Councillor Walker at ease, I think the decision for you today, Councillor, is whether or not we go out for consultation. If there are further comments for us to consider a later day, we will do that, and Councillor Legg has duly raised one.
Thank you, John. Is there any councillors who would like to contribute at this stage? Anyone? Yeah. John, before I move, can I just ask, beg your wisdom on one issue about 6 weeks. Does it start from 12 o'clock midnight today or any other reasonable time you suggest, one? And secondly, is there any way at this stage as a legal officer, could you please give us any indications of the time as well, how long will take the whole process to be complete as well? Thank you.
Actually, I think in terms of the timescales, I'll defer to Margaret on that, so exactly when we're going out to consultation.
We were going to start on Friday of this week. I think it takes to 6th of February, the 6 weeks, because of the Christmas we won't be here for a week, so that's 1 week gone. So yeah, we'll start on from the Friday. All the letters will start to go out this week, and the information will go onto our website for the public side of the consultation as well. Everybody will receive a letter, and they'll be able to go onto the website and look at the policy and the matrix of changes and make comment from there on.
Thank you. So after we are expecting a 6th of February, we'll finish the 6 weeks consultations. Then it will come back to the licensing committee again.
Yes, it will.
Then from that final recommendation will go to the council, all the 37 councillors to decide for the final version of it.
Yes, it has to go to full council.
So after the 6th of February, we'll get one more licensing committee then.
Yes. Yep.
Thank you. So is there any other councillors who wishes to contribute at this time on the report? Any comment? No. Now, there are two recommendations contained within the report. If I may refer to 14.1, that draft revisions to the policy, along with vehicle age options in paragraph 6.2, be consulted upon for 6 weeks. 14.2, that following the consultations exercise, the results will be brought back before the licensing committee prior to making recommendations to full councils. I propose these two recommendations. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Jones. Councillor Jones, you are seconder. Now we shall proceed to the vote. All those councillors for it, could you please show your hands? Any against? Any abstentions? I think it is unanimous. Thank you. The vote is carried. Thank you. Thank you, officers, for your contributions, and the councillors for this as well, and for the member of the public to be with us.